everybody. This is Joanne Verkylen with Circle and Bloom. I am the founder and co-CEO of Circle and Bloom. Welcome to the How Einstein Would Get Pregnant blog series. Today I have a very special guest, Dr. Inna Baron, who is with the Fertility Institute of New Jersey and New York. And Dr. Baron and Circle and Bloom have created a wonderful relationship, which I'm very excited about. We announced just a few days ago that they will be offering our programs to their patients as part of their services and protocol in their office. So I'm very excited to have Dr. Baron on the phone, and we're going to go through some questions and just have a fun chat. So welcome, Dr. Baron.
Thank you very much, Joanne. It's my pleasure to be here and talk to you and hopefully some of our listeners as well.
Thank you. Excellent. So, Dr. Baron, can you tell us a little bit about your background, why you decided to get into the field of reproductive endocrinology?
Well, it's actually, you know, been a passion of mine for a while. I've always been interested in issues of women's health. I thought that women are just at their most vulnerable state when it comes to these topics and gynecological issues and fertility issues. And I've always enjoyed being able to reassure them or treat them for whatever the issue may be. When I initially started my training, I actually trained at Mount Sinai Medical School for medical school and then did my residency in OBGYN at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital. I realized that although it's very rewarding to take care of pregnant patients and I loved delivering babies, I really thought it was much more challenging to take care of those that actually had difficulty getting pregnant. I thought that they were the group of women who were especially vulnerable, and you know, they frequently don't want to tell their family and friends that they're trying or that they haven't been successful, and there are always questions that they may be too embarrassed to ask. I always thought that it was interesting that most of the women spend the majority of their 20s trying not to get pregnant, and then it always comes as such a shock when things don't work out.
Right.
And they're trying. So I always remember feeling how unfair that seemed and how much I wanted to help those women to have a family that they always dreamed of. So I pursued more training in specifically in reproductive endocrinology and fertility, and I did that in Boston at Massachusetts General Hospital.
Well, that's great. And then when did you join the Fertility Institute of New Jersey and New York?
I joined almost a year ago now.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and I couldn't be happier. So I feel that we're making a tremendous difference in many women's lives, and I'm just so proud and happy to work and serve our community here.
Right. And you already touched on some things that speaking from Circle and Bloom's perspective, we've been trying to remedy just in the overall overall society, which is, you know, and we're one voice, but the fact that people are embarrassed to talk about it, just like you said, you know, they try all through their 20s not to get pregnant, and then they realize when it comes to wanting to have a child, it's a shock because, you know, they don't realize that, you know, there's fertility issues that come about. So I think there's a lot of education that needs to happen for women when they're younger. But anyway, we'll get to that, that's a great, I mean, clearly you're very passionate about what you're doing to help women. So that's wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit more about the practice of Fertility Institute?
You know, there are many fertility practices, especially in our tri-state area here, but I really think our center is quite unique. I mean, yes, we have the technology and the success rates that, you know, rival some of the biggest programs worldwide, but we are really unique in how we care for our patients. I mean, we really care about them. We get to know them very well, and we understand their emotional needs.
Mm.
And we fully support them and hold their hand frequently as they go through all the steps in their journey to become parents. We're able to be flexible, we think outside the box, we try to minimize the stress that's associated with infertility treatment. Everyone from the front desk staff to the nurses to the doctors are really compassionate and supportive, and I think that our patients really feel the difference when they get here and how we treat them.
Yeah, that's not something you hear every day, you know, I mean, I've heard from, you know, a lot of women who go through this, and they feel they're a number. They feel when they walk into the waiting room that it's jam-packed of women who, quote, I will never forget this, just, you know, just there's a dark cloud they feel as they walk into the waiting room, and they want to surround themselves like in a bubble so that doesn't, the negativity doesn't impact them as much. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, how a lot of these centers, I believe, you know, don't think about that side of it, which is the emotional side. I mean, it's such a difficult time.
It is. And actually, you know, with regards to that, when you have a waiting room full of people, which, you know, we frequently do because we are quite busy, but actually our patients say that they're so relieved to see that all these women are in the same shoes, and the way that they are hopeful about their treatment, the way that they talk, they frequently become friends and they talk to each other. And, you know, it's just, I don't feel an ounce of negativity when I walk through the waiting room.
Right.
I really feel it's a supportive group of people. And I feel, and my patients tell me all the time how happy they are that, you know, they see other people in the same situation, and how, you know, maybe at the first visit they're a little wary, they're still unsure, they're embarrassed, but then they really relax and it makes them feel a lot better, you know, in conjunction with how we treat them and how our patients react to us, and they share those feelings outside mm-hmm. in the waiting area. So it's actually, you know, I think the whole environment of what we created here is just, it's quite unique.
Right. Well, that's wonderful. I mean, really, really great to hear. And speaking of that, when we think about the emotional side of this and just how really stressful this whole process could be, could you talk what you, and there was, I just saw yesterday or the day before that, ASRM, and I think it was a study that Dr. Domar did and published in the Journal of Fertility and Sterility. But again, this notion of the stress and fertility connection, can you give your thoughts on what, how you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually know Alice DeMar, and she's wonderful, and I love the work that she's doing really in creating the awareness of how important the stress and, you know, just emotional aspect of infertility can be in somebody's fertility treatment. So mm-hmm. I certainly believe that there's a strong psychological component to any aspect of, you know, generally physical well-being, but I think especially in infertility. And although I think that stress doesn't cause infertility in most cases, infertility can certainly result in stress. And mm-hmm. it's unique stress. It's stress every month. First hoping that the woman is pregnant, then trying to time intimate relations according to the biological clock, and then, you know, dealing with disappointment when the woman gets her period. And all this accumulates with months and months of trying, and really can become a significant disruption to the couple's lives, as well as their emotional and psychological well-being. And so this spills over into other parts of their life, work, family, friends, all the things that really, you know, they hold dear. And it can become an all-encompassing goal, and with unfortunately little that the couple can do to control what happens. Now, finally, when they make that step and they go to a fertility specialist, well, that could be no less stressful, you know, thinking of what mm-hmm. the problems may be, talking about the most intimate aspects of somebody's life, and taking this intimacy out of it and making it a science with inseminations or in vitro attempts. You know, I try to focus on that. I try to decrease a couple's anxiety level about both their workup and their treatment. And, you know, I frequently recommend that together with their treatments and however supportive we are, that they use either relaxation tapes or acupuncture or even psychological counseling when appropriate. And so to me, their visits, you know, to me when they come and to see the nurses, it's always another opportunity for myself and our staff to encourage them, to support them through their treatment. And I think we are successful in that.
Right, right. Yeah, I do think that, I mean, it does impact every single aspect of someone's life when they're going through this. And at least in speaking from experience, when I was going through it was very much of a, you know, you lose sense of who you are, you know, you're so, you know, in your own head and in your own body versus trying to see things from, you know, a normal perspective, and you kind of climb into a shell, which is what I did. So it's very important, I think, to, you know, to really realize that there are ways to help yourself through this in such a way that it's not as stressful, as emotional. I mean, it certainly will be, but there's things you can do proactively, I believe.
Exactly. And it's not enough maybe sometimes to just tell yourself, look, just relax. People need help with that. It's, you know, this is what we do. This is what other, you know, the relaxation program, which I'm so happy to be able to use, and, you know, other mental health professionals too. This is, you know, people need help with this. This is just like another, you know, aspect of their, you know, medical and emotional well-being.
Right. No, completely agree. Switching a little bit to a more practical way or proactive way, I should say, to think about one's body and physical self when trying to conceive, do you have any opinions on special diets or ways that people should be thinking about their food intake when they're trying to conceive?
That's a great question. There are many, many gimmicks out there. Mm. Most of the programs or the supplements that boost fertility, they're really take advantage of those people who are the most vulnerable.
Right, right.
And they will do anything to help. From my experience, and actually from all the scientific literature, I don't believe that there's anything special that may really influence someone's ability to conceive. But certainly, keeping a healthy, balanced diet with minimizing processed foods, minimizing quickly digested carbohydrates,
right.
junk food, and of course emphasizing fruits, vegetables, it's the best option to keep someone healthy so that they can have a healthy pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
People who have something like polycystic ovarian syndrome and are predisposed to insulin resistance, certainly very important to balance their carbohydrate intake appropriately to their medical condition.
Right.
The other thing, limiting fish to 3 times a week, avoiding fish with high mercury levels like swordfish, shark, or mackerel. The fish that's okay to eat is trout, tilapia, haddock, whiting, flounder. A lot of the regular white flaky fish is okay to
mm-hmm,
eat.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that people forget and sometimes they are too discouraged to take, but prenatal vitamins
mm-hmm.
are important, and it's something that, needs to be in your system for even a few months before you try and conceive. So a lot of our patients do start with the prenatal vitamins, and then when they end up not being successful in treatment, they just get so discouraged, they stop, and
right.
then forget to start again. So it's something that should always be on board. It's always good to maintain good folate levels and minimize the risks of neural tube defects. And for somebody who's diabetic, it's best to optimize the glucose control and to keep their hemoglobin A1C below 5.6 to minimize the risk of congenital defects.
Oh, okay.
So
yep.
There are many medical things, that are appropriate, but then a lot of the other aspects of, especially commercially available supplements and things like that, not much evidence there to support its use in patients for trying to get pregnant.
Right. So keep an eye out for those quote unquote gimmicky type things and supplements, but definitely. And I think this is appropriate for everybody, really, is the healthy diet, minimizing processed foods.
Right. Always talk to your doctor before purchasing.
Correct.
Or becoming part of any big, investment for nutrition-wise, because it's something that, the doctor can help you, guide through it and to decide whether it's necessary.
Right, right. So the role, going back again to this mind-body connection, when we talk about the stress connection, just generally, I know the mind-body connection is a very umbrella term. It's, thrown around a lot. But when we think of the mind-body connection, we think of it from the standpoint of, really how our thoughts and our emotions affect our physical self, and how do you think of the mind-body connection, and how do you suggest people use it to their advantage again in trying to conceive?
Right. Well, I definitely do believe in the mind-body connection, first personally, and just from what I've seen in my practice, and even in my personal life. Everybody says, one of the most dreaded advice that a couple who's struggling to conceive can hear is, "Oh, just relax and it will happen."
Right.
And it's true. For most people, it's not just easy to relax, but there is some truth to that advice, and I
right.
don't think that's appropriate for people to tell, couples this, but it's something that, really we should keep in the back of our minds. We all know that the examples of these miracle pregnancies, somebody who went through multiple IVF cycles, or doctors said that they will never conceive, so the patient adopts or gives up, and then gets pregnant the next month on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you explain that?
Right.
I had a patient who had really bad pelvic scarring where I thought that her fallopian tubes were completely blocked off from the ovaries. In addition, there was a severe male factor and significantly diminished ovarian reserve. So after several IVF cycles had failed because of poor embryo development, I recommended that she does IVF with donor egg, because they were really ready to do anything to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They agreed. And then in the month that she was getting ready to do this, she got pregnant spontaneously.
Wow.
And now she's 25 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
They're just, although this is a rare occurrence,
mm-hmm.
but it just proves that there's still some things that we don't know about the particular factors that come together for someone to get pregnant. another one of my favorite examples, I had a patient in Boston who was a physician and had a very, very busy and stressful cardiology practice. And she was relatively young. She had good ovarian reserve. And she tried to get pregnant with more conventional methods, but eventually ended up doing IVF. Four attempts with IVF were not successful. I mean, we really threw up our hands. We didn't know why. She never had a pregnancy despite these beautifully developed embryos. But mind you, while she was cycling, she was maintaining her busy practice every day without slowing down. She would come to, you know, the morning monitoring cycles and then run to see patients and then come back to do a procedure and then run to see patients. So after, you know, these four failed attempts, she ended up going to another IVF center in a different city. She came actually to New York City, and she took a three-week vacation, I think for the first time in years, with her husband to do that. And so while she was cycling at this other center, they went out to restaurants, they went out to Broadway shows, and they really enjoyed their break. She got pregnant with twins on the first try.
Oh, wow.
And there's really nothing else that they did differently, because we reviewed their protocol. It was really the fact that she finally slowed down and reduced her stress level.
Right.
So, you know, although it's not easy to just relax, you know, with some help, like, you know, Circle and Bloom programs, for example,
right,
women may be able to do just that, relax.
Right.
So I really, truly believe there's strong mind-body connection in fertility.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree, and really, you know, form the basis of this idea. Then the next level that you'll find, as you know, in our programs, is that we do a visualization, a very physical visualization. Do you have any thoughts on how, or any examples of where that worked? I mean, there has been plenty of studies done, of course, not specific to fertility as it relates to guided imagery, but I think mostly done in oncology, where you're dealing with, you know, cancer, and you use visualization as a form to, you know, marshal whatever you need inside from an immunity standpoint to help your body, you know, rid itself naturally of a tumor. Do you have any reaction to this concept?
I've listened to the Circle and Bloom takes for fertility, and I've actually tried, you know, it says lie down and put your hands on the uterus,
right,
just imagery, and I think that it's extremely powerful. I mean, a lot of the patients, one of the reasons for their stress is this unknown, this big unknown. I don't know what's happening. I don't have any control.
Right.
The doctors are telling me, they're probing me, they're putting things in. I don't know how this works. This empowers them to really visualize the process, to help themselves, you know, feel more confident in this process of fertility, mm-hmm. in their own ability to get pregnant. And some of it is confidence, some of it is just emotional aspects and stress related. But there are so many things that go into it that I think imagery is the perfect way to kind of summon up that energy again and develop that confidence in yourself that you can take, you're taking part of this fertility, mm-hmm. you know, treatment, that you're taking part of becoming pregnant, and it is you who can really be pregnant and
right.
have that power of your body to be pregnant.
Right.
So I really think that it's a huge, hugely beneficial component, mm-hmm. this visual, you know, imagery.
That's great. And actually I have one story for you, because, and I loved your, you know, your specific stories about those two patients. We got a call about 2 weeks ago from a woman. She was just calling the 800 number to talk about our pregnancy program, because we have a pregnancy program where, you know, again, the effects of stress reduction are, you know, very important. I would think also throughout the pregnancy, and I'm saying I would think because I would love to hear your thought on that. But let me come back. I'll circle back to that question.
Okay, sure.
So she called about that, and she said, yeah, she said, I purchased the Natural Cycle program about 45 days ago, and used it every single day, and I found out that I was pregnant. She said, I can't believe that it only took 1 month. And I said, oh, wow, congratulations. That's excellent. I mean, this is the stories we hear a lot. But then she said, and I'm 47 years old, and this will be our second child, and our first was only conceived through IVF. She said, I went to my doctor because I thought I was maybe you know, starting to go through menopause because my period was late. And the doctor called back and said, you are pregnant. And she couldn't believe it. Now,
wow.
I'm hoping and knocking on all kinds of wood that, you know, that she's successful throughout her entire pregnancy. But just what a, that's probably the pinnacle of our success stories.
I know. Yeah, that's unbelievable. But yes, that does happen, and certainly it happens at a small rate in that age group. But you know, if those are the people who get help and they can conceive, they still can conceive, then they're probably the ones who are meant to have a baby even at that late at that later age. But it's, you know, it's really unbelievable that they can, that this has a power. It does.
Absolutely. And your comment about, I mean, what your reaction is about stress reduction throughout pregnancy. I mean, I guess stress reduction is good no matter what age or what, you know, life stage you're going through. But what about?
I always say that, you know, stress doesn't end with getting pregnant. It doesn't end with having a baby. Right. It doesn't end when the baby graduates college.
Exactly.
Yes, the whole process is, you know, quite stressful in general, but that's life. And we all love it and we never mind it. But, you know, people who actually undergo IVF, they are at a higher risk of, you know, things happening during pregnancy like preterm labor or, you know, preeclampsia, high blood pressure. All those medical things, actually, you know, relaxation has been shown by biofeedback mechanisms to be able to help with that. So I am absolutely, I'm sure that it has a positive effect, even on those people who may develop complications of pregnancy, maybe at least to either lower the complication rate or help somebody through it. But for people who are, I don't know anybody who's pregnant who's not anxious about something.
Right,
You know, either it's a first trimester testing or the anatomy scan, an ultrasound, or it's preterm labor later on. Everybody knows about these things that can happen, and nobody should stress out about them. So, of course, you can't, again, like I said, so tell somebody don't stress out or just relax. But with appropriate help, I think it's very appropriate to for them to even use these programs during their pregnancies.
Right, right. And if somebody, there may be listeners at this point who, you know, are thinking about seeing a specialist or even, you know, thinking about changing, or what would be the top three questions you would suggest they ask as they're kind of, you know, thinking about who they should work with?
Right. Well, I think you alluded to this, but the first step is to make the decision to see a fertility specialist at the appropriate time. I would recommend not waiting any longer than 1 year for a woman who's younger than 35, and no longer than 6 months or even less for a woman over the age of 35. Now, even in these subcategories, there are variabilities. For instance, a 26-year-old who gets very irregular menses, let's say only a few times a year, should see a fertility specialist sooner because she's not ovulating and will need some kind of treatment in order to ovulate, so she doesn't necessarily need to wait a whole year. Once somebody makes that first important step, they have to find a fertility specialist with whom they will feel comfortable. That's the bottom line,
right.
And one that will work with them, not just, you know, against them or for them, but with them on their goals. And one question to ask is, what will be involved in a fertility workup? How can the health of their ovaries, their tubes, their uterus, as well as the quality of sperm be tested? And frequently the doctor can make some even initial impressions regarding the etiology of a couple's infertility from history and ultrasound alone. So even the first visit may be very informative. Another question to ask is who will be seeing them for the duration of their treatment, who will be doing the procedures. In practices which have several physicians, it's very common that the patient sees either the doc of the week or the doc of the day on their visit and only sees their own physicians for follow-up visits if treatment is not successful. And it doesn't mean it's bad physicians, but this model might not work for everybody. There are certainly patients who need to see the same person over and over again to develop that close relationship, you know, they may need a little bit more hand-holding. So, for instance, in other practices like ours, the patient's physicians see them at all their visits and does all their procedures. So, you know, there are benefits to both methods, so it's just important to know what to expect. And finally, I think a patient, you know, should ask whether a physician recommends any complementary or alternative medicine approaches to pursue while they're getting their treatment. Relaxation program, like I said, like Circle and Bloom, acupuncture, support groups, all these things, you know, do exist out there, and many, many patients would benefit from some additional form of treatment. So I would definitely recommend that the person asks what the doctor's philosophy is about these things before they start.
Right. Well, those are great, great suggestions. And it's always great to hear those suggestions directly from, you know, the specialist who is in the field and really understands. And again, hearing about how your, your center really focuses on patient care from all aspects, I think is, you know, you're certainly the one to ask, if I may conjecture my opinion on that. So really, I think that wraps it up. Or Dr. Barron, do you want to add anything else? Any other parting words of advice for our listeners?
Well, actually, I wish absolutely the best to everybody who's struggling with infertility, who's trying to conceive. It is a very stressful process, but just please know that you're not alone. There are many, many people just like you, and the important thing is to get the appropriate counseling, the appropriate help, and, you know, majority of people do end up succeeding. And yeah, I would say that if you set up your goals and expectations and plans and plan B, sometimes it's a win-win situation. So partner up with somebody who will help you and guide you through the process, and I have no doubt that you'll be happy in your life.
Oh, wonderful. That's so nice. And how would, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, Dr. Barron, can I give them your website address and possibly email?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, I would love to hear from them. We have a website page and we have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. The website is www.center4@IVF.com, and then our Facebook page is find us at Fertility Institute of New Jersey and New York. We have a lot of interesting links and information, and it's really a community of patients and of other people who may be interested in topics. So we're always happy to talk, answer questions either through Facebook or through our website, even informally. And, of course, anybody can always call 201-666-4200 and make that first step towards becoming parents.
Oh, perfect. Well, listen, thank you so much. And, again, thank you for the support behind Circle and Bloom. I mean, it's just so wonderful to hear when, you know, reproductive endocrinologists and fertility specialists really, you know, take what we have created and what we're proud to call our library of Mind Body programs and help, you know, and offer to their patients. So big thank you there. And of course,
Thank you for creating this program. I think it's an invaluable help to so many people that I'm proud to, you know, be part of this.
That's great. That's so wonderful. And, of course, big thank you for, giving me your time today.
Of course. Thank you for asking me to come on.
So that'll wrap up today's program. Please check back for more information. You can also find this pretty much complete script on our blog page. So please visit circlebloom.com and just go to our blog and you should be able to find that under our latest blog entries, or you can just do an easy search for Dr. Barron, and that's Berin, and you should be able to find that article on our website as well. Again, that's circlebloom.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.